Hello there, medical device world. I am Mike Matthews. Over there is Hank Balch, and this is Beyond the Headlines, where we will take a look at the stories that are making waves in the medical device industry. Today, we're going to be talking about the new announcement that came out, a partnership between Ambu and Cook Medical to begin distributing disposable ERCP scopes. Hank, are we going to disagree on the pronunciation of duodenoscope versus duodenoscope?
Well, I'm going to go with duodenoscope, Mike, and if you're not going to go with that, then I'm just going to treat you like a second-class citizen.
Perfect. I'm used to that. So I'm going to say duodenoscope, so that way we can constantly be butting heads over it. All right, so I have a lot of mixed feelings on this one. Give me your quick read.
Obviously, there's a challenge, or there would not be a market for these single-use scopes. As we've talked about on the podcast numerous times, there's a lot of solutions out there to try to tackle the reusable challenges. And again, when we say challenges in this space, it's not just the scope, it's everything else that's connected with it. All the equipment that is used to wash, all the accessories that you have to track from patient to patient to patient, all the storage parameters for storing these reusable scopes, all of those little things, any breakdown in that process could cause a huge infection concern. So into that challenge then walks a single-use disposable option, and there's no wonder that there's a lot of buzz on it.
I'll be honest, my gut reaction is to be irritated by this.
Okay.
Because it's one of those things where, you know, coming from a technician's background, anytime you see a disposable option introduced, it feels like it's a commentary on your ability to perform the task. And that's the case whether you're talking about disposable items in your outside clinics, which we're huge fans of, or disposable items that are now making their way into complex medical devices. The initial sort of reaction is that if we could just fix our process, it might not be necessary. So because we can't fix the process, hospitals tend to take the at least perceived easier route, which is just throw it away every time.
That could be a perception, you know, so let me push back on that. Let's just take a look at our surgical towels, for instance. Who misses processing reusable surgical towels, all the delinting that's involved in that, to make sure that you're sending back a quality product to the OR, or you could take the easy way out and outsource those items to a manufacturer who sterilizes the towels in an industrial setting, and they come in prepackaged, ready to go. And I guess you could classify those as also single-use items. So in that scenario, it's not necessarily a commentary on our ability to do the job. It's just a commentary on are our current resources best used in trying to overcome all of those challenges, especially in something like a complex medical device, like you said, or our resources better used focusing on the things that we can more easily clean and more consistently clean and sterilize on all of our stainless steel items, for instance. So I can understand the commentary, and you know, to take it one step further, in our conversations with vendors and manufacturers, for instance, of these machines to clean the scopes or to sterilize the scopes, there's a lot of innovation going on.
Mm-hmm.
And these folks are very, very smart. You know, they're looking at the science behind how water interacts with detergents, how ultrasonic cleaning could be one of the answers to cleaning these scopes appropriately, and all the way into the chemical side. So it's not to say that there's not progress being made, but I think one of the concerns here is how much longer can we wait? And all of the research that we're seeing coming out from folks like the Corey Alstead group is just continuing to paint a more and more challenging situation. And so I can really understand, again, you know, why this is a big market announcement.
Yeah. And again, like I said, I really have mixed feelings on this one. Because from a patient safety standpoint, it does make an awful lot of sense, because even though we have to say, yeah, if we could get our processes straight, we might be able to negate the need for something like this. But at the end of the day, we have to acknowledge the fact that we have patients to see tomorrow, and we don't have our processes fixed tomorrow. So what do we do in the interim? And so we have to think about those patients who are going to have those procedures done on them while we're still trying to figure out these processes, which brings up another significant question. Like you just mentioned that, you know, there's a lot of significant progress being made into better cleaning, better preparing these scopes to be ready. It seems like it, particularly in the medical device world, we have a problem with saying ready, fire, aim when it comes to putting new devices out on the market.
If you watch the documentary, The Bleeding Edge.
That's where I was going, yeah.
Yeah. You know, we all got an education on that one, right? For the, I won't say a workaround again, but we'll just say the problematic direction that the 510K process has taken, allowing many of these devices, like you said, to come onto the market maybe quicker than they should have. I did want to mention, though, like you talked about, all of the surgeries that are scheduled for tomorrow. So we have patients tomorrow, though, we have to be planning for. And I want to go back to the video that we did on the stolen surgical instruments.
Yep.
Just imagine, okay, you know, $450,000 worth of scopes walked out the door. Imagine if those were single-use scopes, you know, price tag would have been a lot lower, and you could have ordered brand new ones to come in the same day and continue patient care. Again, not saying that it's okay to walk out the door with single-use scopes.
That's good, because that's my retirement plan.
Right, you know, but there are answers there, and I know there's always environmental concerns anytime that we talk about a single-use disposable device. However, and I don't know the particular context, you know, for this one, but it's because a device is single use, just like we talked about with Dan Vukolich early on for the Beyond Clean podcast. Mm-hmm. A lot of these devices that are single use can still be reprocessed off-site by a third-party reprocessor who's got validation from the FDA. So these single-use duodenoscopes even could go off-site, taken apart, clean, industrially sterilized, maybe with ETO to make sure that we're killing all the bugs, and then sent back again. I'm not saying again that that's what's going to happen with these scopes, but I'm just saying that there's potential there to lessen the impact in the environment, but still be able to go single-use.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think regardless of how we may personally feel about it, I think this is going to make a splash in the industry. You know, we've seen new devices on the market for disposable bronchoscopes. There's disposable cystoscopes, disposable ureteroscopes. They haven't quite caught on as well. Now, they're out there. They're definitely selling. But I could see this one really catching on very quickly due to the increased risk of infection that we have already seen multiple breakouts of, particularly the one from a couple of years ago that confirmed 43 deaths and a whole lot more very likely. So I have a feeling that this could very well be big in the industry.
I guess the last thing I have to say about it is, until we see some tremendous implementation of these new technologies, because it's like we said, there's a lot of work going on with new machines, new chemicals, new processes, new storage cabinets, but that doesn't mean that your hospital has all that in place, mm-hmm. or that they have adequate training, or they have, you know, cutting edge instrumentation. So until that happens, sign me up for a single use scope.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, don't we have to say which one would you rather have used on you, especially if you're in an unfamiliar environment? If you're having an ERCP done to you at a hospital that you don't know if their processes are good or not, which would you rather have used on you? Very important question. Till next time, this is Mike Matthews and Hank Balt signing off with Beyond the Headlines.